Psalms chapter 37 and verse 23, I want to say this about the psalm. The psalm is a contrast, the whole psalm, between a good man and a bad man. When I use the word man, it's the same way in the Bible many times. It's used in a generic sense. It's not just talking about a male, the exclusion of the female, but it's talking about people. And there's a contrast here in so many different ways between a good person and a bad person. And in verse 23, the Bible says, the steps of a good man, and that's what I'm preaching on this morning, is how to step in orderly steps for 2012. Orderly steps, ordered steps for the new year. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. All the way throughout this entire psalm, and with special, it seems like, intensity, verses 21 through 29, are a contrast between a wicked man and a good man. When I talk about goodness and the person being good, I'm not talking about legalism here or works or anything like that. We're talking about people who are saved and people who are walking rightly and whom God speaks of as being a good, good man. In verse 8, the Bible tells us, the book of Colossians, the Bible tells us we're to exercise ourselves unto godliness. Exercise ourselves unto godliness. A lot of people are confused today. I believe this with all of my heart, that a lot of people have been and are going into this new year in this old world, a lot of Christian people, mostly Christian people, that's who I'm talking about mostly, is Christian people, are confused about what constitutes goodness. Of course, the world is very, very confused about that. The Word of God puts a judgment on people who can't tell the difference between what's good and what's bad. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, and verse 20 and 21, the Bible says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." Boy, I've never seen it like it is today, where people, and I mean Christian people, and people who are trying to live as God wants us to live, are now being pointed at and considered as the bad people, the problem people of the world. But I'm here to tell you this morning, it's not that attitude's not all out there in the world. It's in many places that call themselves churches, where people don't make any difference between the good and the evil. In fact, when God spoke about this through the prophet Isaiah, he was addressing his own people. A lot of people are confused. I'll tell you, it's a wonder people can read their Bibles and not be able to tell the difference between good things and bad things. And not only are people confused, but a lot of people are convicted by goodness. In other words, the old saying, when one white sheep gets dirty, all black sheep feel better. And the Bible teaches this all the way through. The Scripture says, talking in the New Testament about Cain, going way back to the Genesis story about Cain rising up, the first murder ever committed, when Cain rose up and killed his own brother Abel. And you get over in the New Testament, explains why he did it. We read it there in Genesis, and they're living in what seems like under nice conditions. The first murder was committed there. And why did he do it? You read that back in Genesis, and you say, why did he kill his own brother? Well, there's some explanation there. Cain came and he brought the fruit of the ground, some of his crop, to offer to God. God never asked for that. When are people going to learn not to try to appease God and worship God with things He's not asked for? But his brother Abel came and did just exactly what God wanted him to do and brought an offering of a lamb and shed blood to give glory to God and picture the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says God had pleasure in his offering, but he was wroth with Cain's offering, and Cain knew it. And instead of changing his ways and doing what was right, he killed his brother. But there's a real succinct explanation in 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 12. It says, Cain slew his brother because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Now, those who are good are often are considered to be good. Often they're not appreciated today, and they're considered by the world anyway. This world system is a menace to society. You know, you and I who are here today, believing like we do, and so on. It's actually been documented now. We're put on the list as being the miscreants of society. And on the suspect list for being terrorists. Why? Because of our association with God and with the Word of God, the things of God and His church. Therefore, we're considered to be a threat and considered to be dangerous. Why? Because, why is this society like that? Because their deeds are so evil. And it's getting more and more and more that right. So the Lord, you read the Bible, it's just like this chapter, it makes a great clear distinction between what constitutes goodness and that which pleases the Lord and badness. And I'm telling you right now, people better start getting it right. They better start making a difference between good and evil. They better start seeing these things. And Psalm 17 and verse 15 says, He that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord. See, God's people are not to be the kind of people that look at wicked people and try to make excuses for them and say, well, they're good people. God says He condemns that. And He condemns the person also who looks at them that are good and trying to follow the Lord and condemn them for it, and God says His condemnation is upon them. Now, I just want to say three more things as we go into this new year. And I want you to follow me carefully in these two verses. As I preach, I try to preach about having orderly steps going into and throughout this new year. Three things about it in these two verses. The first thing that you see in these verses, it talks about the guidance that a good man has. And again, don't think of the male, think of this in non-generic terms. We're talking about men and women and boys and girls. The Bible begins here in this text talking about the guidance that's associated with a good man. Then it talks about the gratification you'll have for being good. The gratification, more importantly, that God takes with people when they're good. And then thirdly, in the 24th verse, it speaks of the guarantees. God has some guarantees for good people. And notice the guidance that's associated here with a good man. In the first place, look at it speaks about the discipline that a good man gives to his steps. The discipline in a good man's steps. There's discipline in them. In verse 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered. That's a military term. Beloved, this is for all of us. Men and women, boys and girls, we ought to have our steps ordered. We need to have orderly steps throughout this year, throughout our lives. We're not lost people anymore. Paul and the other apostles were constantly reminding the churches and reminding one another, we're not what we once were. That seems to be one of the hardest things some Christians have to get through their heads. You are not lost anymore. We're not to walk as we formerly walked. Not in any way. You say, well, I'm just walking in some areas the way I used to. No. The steps of a good man are ordered. And that's a military term. It means to march in a prescribed manner. I remember when I first went off to boot camp, it would have been a laugh if I wasn't so terrified. When they had us all out teaching us how to march, and people were getting out of step, and I mean, it was just terrible. And back then, they didn't have quiet time for the troops. They had something worse than quiet time if you got out of step. Something embarrassing and sometimes painful. They wanted us to walk in a prescribed. They had a way for us to walk, and with order in it and discipline. And it involves when a person's steps are ordered, that means that you have some goals in your life. And goals are a good thing. People talk about New Year's resolution and setting goals for the new year. And sometimes people disparage that and say, I don't go along with that. I don't set any goals. But I'm telling you right now, it's a very wise thing, good thing, profitable thing for people to set goals for the new year. And I'll tell you one thing, you're not going to reach any goals you didn't set. Amen. People, a man whose steps are ordered is circumspect in the way that he walks. Now, that word circumspect means that he's discreet, he's careful, and he's prudent. The Bible says in the New Testament, more than one place such as this, in Ephesians 5, verse 15 through 17, says, see then that you walk circumspectly. As we go into this new year, we want to walk circumspectly. We want to walk with some discretion. We want to walk prudently and carefully as God's children. It says, not as fools. In other words, the person who doesn't walk circumspectly is walking like a fool. According to the Bible, and it says, but as wise, here's what it's all about. Redeeming the time. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. A person with ordered steps, who's walking orderly, is a person who's walking circumspectly. And they're also a person who has his steps ordered, walking consistently. They're not walking, listen to me carefully, they're not walking one way in this church building and around this church property and another way at home. Everybody understand that? Say amen. It means a person who is walking, whose steps are orderly, is walking consistently. They're not putting on a show and a pretense in this building and there's something else in their own house. Amen. Now, in Job 17 and 9, the Bible says, the righteous also shall hold on his way. It's walking consistently. You know, Scripture goes on elsewhere, many places, and tells us the possibility. Of course, the possibility is there that you're trying to hold on your way, but you get tempted or you do something. It's nobody's fault but our own fault. We can't blame the devil. James says, don't try to blame God. But because we're not as careful and as circumspect as we ought to be, we get off track. And I'm not talking about getting off track for years or for months and staying off track for weeks. But I'm talking about it's possible for us, as Job says, trying to hold on our way, to drift a little bit, but we will get back unless we're a dog or a hog, according to Peter. The hog likes to wallow in the mire, and the dog will return to its own vomit and stay there. Now, I'm talking about consistency this morning, beloved. Now, God, everybody may not see what's going on in your life and in my life, but I'm telling you right now, good God Almighty sees it. And He knows all about it. And He wants us to walk with steps that are ordered. And that means consistency. I was noticing this verse this week in 2 Chronicles 34, verse 1 and 2. It's talking about Josiah. They had revival among God's people in Josiah's day. And here's one of the biggest reasons why. The Bible says Josiah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And he declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. And therefore, he was able to be a blessing in his place of responsibility and leadership because he was consistent in his life. So when you read these words, the steps of a good man are ordered, it's talking about the discipline there is in a good man's steps. See, nobody can follow us around, amen, day after day, 24/7. Nobody can follow us around and make sure we're walking. That's our job. And we're to take responsibility for the discipline that there is in our own steps. But then it goes on and says this in verse 23. Somebody says, How do I know which way to direct my step? Well, we have a director. The steps of a good man, the Bible says, are ordered. That describes his steps. And this describes the one who's giving the guidance are ordered by the Lord. Are yours? Let me just say this. Yes, they are. You may not be following the orders, but God's given us the orders. They're ordered by the Lord. In verse 23, makes that very clear. And you know what, beloved? You and I need to have our steps ordered by the Lord. I know I do. And I know everybody does. We need to have our steps ordered by the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, Jeremiah said, if he were sitting here, he'd have said, amen. Jeremiah said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself, it is not in man to direct his steps. See, Psalms 58 verse 3 says that a man begins going astray from the time he's born. And even after we get saved, we have that tendency. And so we need God to order our steps. We need to look to God to order our steps. He's the one that's supposed to be directing our steps. I'll just say this real quick. This whole world's not to be directing our steps. The fashion magazines put out by that fashion establishment are not to direct our steps. And the music industry of this world is not to direct what we listen to. This entertainment world is not to direct where we go, but the Lord is to direct our steps. He's the director. A good man's steps are ordered by the Lord. That means a good man wants God to order his steps. Amen. Some people act like they don't want God to order their steps. They resent it when it's brought up. But He is the director of our steps, and we need Him to. God directs men's steps in two ways. One, God directs a man's steps through what he's able to learn from the Scriptures. Amen. That's why we have the Scriptures. So we can learn how to walk and how to live. You know, most of us in this room have learned enough, I think, from the Scriptures, all of us. You and I, all of us have learned enough, most of us here, from these Scriptures about how to order our lives going into this new year. Amen. Thank God for it. Many of us could stand up and say, you know, I've learned a lot. It's made an impact and difference in my life. That's what the Bible's for, beloved. It's not just so we'll have something in our hand when we come to church. It's not just to give us something to open up. It's not like a Sunday suit of clothes and this is the accessory that goes with it. The Bible says in the 119th Psalm, and boy, that's a great psalm, isn't it? Psalm 119 and verse 133, the psalmist said, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. He went on and he said this. He said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Bible. See, we want to go into this new year with ordered steps. And God is the director of our steps. And He does that through our learning everything we can learn from the Word of God. But you know, the Scripture warns us in the New Testament, says there are people who are ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. In other words, they're ever learning. They're learning things. They're learning things. And then they're forgetting them and dismissing them as soon as they've learned them instead of embracing them and applying them. You know another way that God orders our steps and directs us? He does it through this. And maybe this is the problem with some people who are ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. They've been learning the same Bible that everybody else has. It hasn't made enough difference. You can cram into a sewing thimble in their life. Because God also directs by His Holy Spirit. And here's the rub. The Bible says the natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit, neither indeed can he, because they're spiritually discerned. It's like water running off a duck's back for people who are ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. He directs us through His Scripture. He directs us through His Spirit. It's a wonderful thing to see God. It's a wonderful thing to me to see God directing how God's directed my own steps in my life. I haven't lived a perfect life. Far from it. Far from it. I'm not like the preacher I heard not too long ago, and he said, "I'm the most carnal man in the world." I don't think I'm as carnal. He said, "I'm as carnal as any man could be." I don't think I'm as carnal as any man could be. I'm trying hard not to be carnal. I know I'm not perfect. But I'll tell you one thing this morning. I've come to the end of this new year and this time in my life. I'm just thankful for how I've seen the Lord direct. You know, it's a wonderful thing to see how God has directed, to sense God. That's what I'm trying to say. To sense God directing your life. You know, I believe you can feel God's presence in your life. The Bible talks several times. Sometimes I like to preach a sermon entitled "The Hand of God Was Upon Me." And God wants to, He wants to direct us. And I look at scriptures like Psalm 23 and verse 3 and 4. The psalmist said, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." He said, "And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." It's a great thing to sense God working in your life. Nehemiah said this. He said in chapter 2, verse 18, he said, "I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me." I mean, many people could give a testimony here and say, I've sensed God's hand on my life, directing me and moving me. A person doesn't have to have, they don't have to let their steps be ordered by the Lord. You don't have to. You can let your steps be ordered or directed by the world, as I said. Ordered and directed by your own flesh and by the devil. And lots of people have done that. Many people are doing it today, but it doesn't have to be that way. A good man will submit to God's direction in his life, and really that's why he's a good man. We're talking about learning from those scriptures. In Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 20, it says, "Thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it." You ever had God speak to your heart about that? Saying, "This is the way,
walk ye in it. The way you're in is the wrong way here in this area. Get out of it. This is the right way. Walk ye in it. He said, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. I just want to say this morning that it's better to let the Lord direct your life than the world. Sinners aren't having all of the fun. Now, they are having fun. But, you know, their little day of gratification with sin is going to come to a terrible, terrible, terrible end. James 1 and verse 15 says, "And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, when it gets done working you over, when it gets done tricking you, when it gets done fooling with you and wearing you out and washing you up, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The way of the transgressor is hard." Brother Rick and I were talking last week about a man that we both know. Well, he was a young man. Years ago, he was, I don't know, he might have been in his late teens or so on. And he was going to church, but he wasn't living like he ought to live, and he was drinking and carousing and doing things and with people he shouldn't have been with. And he was a tall, relatively good-looking young man, that kind of athletic-looking. You know what happened to him? He was out doing things he shouldn't have been doing and got in a terrible car wreck, wound up a young man like that in a wheelchair, all bent over and knotted up, can't talk right, in a wheelchair and spending his life, haven't had for months and months and months, had every single necessity happen to be done for him. And even today, I think today, last time I knew anyway, he was in a nursing home where you go where these old people are and they can't take care of themselves or do anything. There he was. Happened just like that. You can let this world direct your steps, beloved. And a lot of people do, and a lot of people are. But it's not gonna turn out well. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. And I think back, if I hadn't been saved when I was 21, how hard my life could have been. And so I'm thankful. It's a wonderful thing to sense the Lord directing your life. I'm thankful for it. And I'm glad for his leadership. The psalmist was glad. He said, "He leadeth me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For thy rod and thy staff," that's what the shepherd did. The shepherd had his staff and that crook in it, and he'd use that crook sometimes to pull a sheep back where it needed to be. Sometimes he'd use that staff and give a sheep a good whack or two to straighten it out. It wasn't because he hated the sheep, it's because he loved them. And God, when he's leading a person and directing a person, he'll pull us back to where we need. He's got all kinds of ways to do it. He's got a whole bunch of different staffs and different shapes and forms. And sometimes the Lord will get a little belligerent with the Lord. He'll take his staff and give you a few whacks, and it'll not be pleasant. It'll be painful. And I'll tell you, I felt his staff and I felt his rod. But I'll tell you one thing, I'm glad tonight that I have been able to sense the Lord directing my steps. There's a song that we sing called "He Leadeth Me." I want to give you a few stanzas of that, a few words. He leadeth me. Can you say this? Can you say this today? He leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought, oh, words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whatever I do, where'er I be, still in God's, it's God's hand that leadeth me. Lord, I would place my hand in thine, nor ever murmur nor repine. Content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. Can you think back on how many times in your life when you've been so sensitive to God's leadership in your life? Chorus of that song says, "He leadeth me, he leadeth me. By his own hand, he leadeth me. And because of it, his faithful servant I would be. for by his hand he leadeth me. For me, it's great to sense the Lord's leadership in my life. I'll tell you something else. It's a wonderful thing to see the Lord directing in somebody else's life. It's a wonderful thing to see people get brought back in the right path, to get turned around, to see God leading people and calling people and dealing with people. That's a wonderful thing. People don't, listen, young people, you don't have to sow your wild oats. You know what they bring forth? That'll bring forth poisonous things. You don't have to. The Bible says if you sow the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind. If you'll let God direct your life instead of your flesh in this world, you'll be happy throughout your life. And that just brings me to this point. In verse 23, the Bible says, God looks down on a man whose steps are ordered by the Lord and takes great satisfaction in it. Great gratification. And he delighteth in his way. That's the Lord that's gratified there, but I'll say again, I'm gratified. I'm satisfied. I'm happy with God's leadership and what God's done in my life. When the Bible says he delighteth in his way, that means a good man's steps are familiar to the Lord. How could he delight in our way if he didn't know what our way was? Listen, beloved, he's familiar with everything we did this morning. He's familiar with everything we've done, every hour, every moment, every second of our life. Isn't it a wonderful thing to think that God looks down, familiar with our steps, and could say about us, like he said to Abraham, things like this. And he said, I know him, that he'll raise his, I know how he's going to raise his family. I know how he is raising them. I know what he's doing. I know him. I can trust him. Well, God is familiar with a good man's steps because he's omniscient. Job 31 and 4 says, does he not see my ways and count all my steps? In Psalm 1 and verse 6, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. What we all want to be able to say is what we read in Job 23, verse 10 and 11. Job said, he knoweth the way that I take. How do you feel when you hear something like that? God knows the way that you're taking. He knows what you've been doing, where you've been walking, how you've been living. Job said, he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. See, that's the goal. A good man's steps are familiar to the Lord and find favor with the Lord. Proverbs 12 and 2, a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. In Psalm 35 and in verse 12, or verse 27, the Bible says, the Lord hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. See the intimacy there? The Lord is satisfied, gratified, happy, pleased with the man whose steps are ordered by him. In Psalm 147 and verse 11, the Lord taketh pleasure. Think about God taking pleasure in mere man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that her hope in his mercy. Now that's something to think about. God's taking pleasure in us. And then lastly, in verse 24, spoken about guidance here and about the gratification involved in the steps of a good man ordered by the Lord. And then it gives us some guarantees. Look what it guarantees us. The good man whose steps are being ordered by the Lord. This might surprise you a little bit. In verse 24, this good man's guaranteed some hardships. Amen. You say, why? Well, a good man is going to encounter problems simply because he's here in this world. A good man will. That's why Jesus said that all who will live godly will suffer persecution. See, the steps of a good man, whose steps are being ordered by the Lord, is going to have some hardships in his life, just or her life, just because they're here. In 1 Peter 3 and in verse 14 says, talks about Christians told that be prepared when you suffer for righteousness' sake. A good man whose steps are ordered by the Lord is going to encounter hardships just for living for God. Just because they want to have their path right, their walk right, their life circumspect, and they're trying to live carefully and so on. They're pleasing God. They're going to have some hardships here. And then, in verse 24, here's the second guarantee. We're going to have hardships, but we're also going to get all the help we need. He said, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Amen. I'll tell you, the Lord has really helped me. I was reading that verse, and I thought about how that God, many years ago, I mean, it was so weird, wild. Farthest thing, a million miles from my mind, this would have happened one day, one week. The next week, he was directing me into the front door of a little storefront, fundamental, independent Baptist church. And he directed my steps to where I kept coming back week after week after week. And I got saved. Then he directed me to follow the Lord in baptism. I've never been sorry about that. And he directed my steps to unite with the church. Later on, he directed my steps to get married. And I'm so thankful. He could have directed my steps over here or over there, this girl or that girl or the other one. I've never regretted for one nanosecond how he directed my steps. Then he directed my steps about having children. I mean that. He could have stopped having children after the first one or the second one or the third one or the fourth one. But he just worked and directed that we have five of them. I've not regretted. I rejoice in how God directed the matter of having children. There was that time God directed me about getting into the ministry. Well, he's been awful good to me. He's never done me, as they say, anything but good. Now, I want to be like this fellow that's spoken of here, a good man whose steps are ordered by the Lord. I've had my hardships, just like you have. But let's not ever forget this. We've got all the help we could ever possibly need in the Lord. And that's what he's speaking of here. All of these things. It's a promise. Now, I just want to say one last thing about this. A good man's steps are ordered by the Lord. And then he promises this. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. There are a lot of promises in the Bible. Some of them are just general promises. They are just promises that are for everybody. For example, the Lord has promised to send his rain on the just and the unjust. That's for everybody. The Lord has made this promise, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise he makes to everybody. But there are some promises in the Bible that are strictly exclusive, like this one, Romans 8 and 28. We know all things work together for good To who? Everybody? No. I hear so many people quoting that verse like it applies to themselves. It couldn't possibly apply to them. For one thing, they're not even saved people. But all things work together for good to these people, to them that love the Lord. To them who are called according to His purpose, who understand their purpose is to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and to be transformed by the renewing of their mind. They understand that's their purpose, and to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. If you're that kind of person, the Bible says if you get it, you understand it, you've embraced it, and you get it, then that promise is exclusively for you. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to His purpose. Here's another one. This doesn't apply to lost people at all. It only applies to saved people. 1 Thessalonians 4. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel. And then we and in the twinkling of an eye with the voice of the shout of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet Him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's not the world's promise. That's our promise. A good man's steps are ordered by the Lord. And He guarantees us help. Turn to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Don't think there won't be hardships. You know there will. You know there have been. There are. But God said, I'm sure going to uphold you by my hand. I won't let you utterly fall. You won't fall so far down, so hard, you won't be able to get back up. In Hebrews 13 and in verse 5, the Bible says, let your conversation, that is your life, everything about you, be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I'll not fear what man shall do unto me. In Psalm 18 and in verse 26, 36, the Bible says, Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. In verse 31 of our chapter here of text, Psalm 37, the law of God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. Amen. We might have hardships, but the steps of a good man, it's worth it, are ordered by the Lord. And though he be cast down, he'll not utterly fall. God says, I'll uphold him by my own hand. What a blessing to be a Christian. Psalm 54, verse 4, real short. Psalmist says what's said throughout the Bible, what we know. Psalmist just said in Psalm 54 and 4, he said, the Lord is my helper. Amen. Let's go into this new year. Must be the good man whose steps are being ordered by the Lord. And let's go through this year, no matter what hardship comes, and just rejoice in the fact that the Lord is our helper. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what category you want to put it into, domestic, financial, spiritual, professional. He is our helper. There's never going to be any place we're going to be where He's not going to be there. Amen, to help us if we're trying to follow the steps, the course that He has for our life. We know what it is. We know we've got the maps, we've got the directions. A man down in Mississippi called me and asked Brother Sutton if I would come and preach for him this new year. And I said, yes, I'd be glad to. He said, now this time, he said, you're not going to take that scenic route, are you? Because a couple of years ago, I went down there and it took me about twice as long to get where I was supposed to be. I didn't take my directions. I figured I'd been there before. I knew how to get there. I said, no, I'm not going to take that scenic route this time. I'm going to follow the directions. God is the scenic route will wear you out. It'll make you miss some things. I miss supper because of that. That's serious stuff. You want to follow the path God has for us. Please do that this year. Let's all stand together.